Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to mention that our call-in line, if you have questions, is 610-701-9243. That's 610-701-9243. This day in history. In 1904, Theodore Geisel, later known to the world as Dr. Seuss, is born in Springfield, Massachusetts, later graduating from Dartmouth College and going into the field of illustration for children's books, his first big success being The Cat in the Hat in 1957. Geisel sold over 200 million books, which were translated into several foreign languages and even into films like How the Grinch Stole Christmas. In 1966, the 1 millionth Ford Mustang rolls off the assembly line at the factory in Dearborn, Michigan, evidence of the growing popularity of the sporty sedan convertible, which made the car the most popular ever produced by a major U.S. automaker. And in 1972, Pioneer 10 lifts off the launch pad at Cape Canaveral, Florida, on its way to an interplanetary rendezvous with Jupiter. The spacecraft later sent back breathtaking images to Earth, showing volcanic eruptions from the surface of the planet, which I personally viewed as a graduate student in petroleum geology back in 1979 while at the University of Texas at Austin. Although NASA officially ended the Pioneer program in 1997, the spacecraft is still on its journey and will approach a star, Ross 246, in the year 34,600 AD. The vehicle has a plaque showing human beings, our solar system, and its flight path, designed by the late astronomer Carl Sagan. The town of Phoenixville, Pennsylvania, in northeastern Chester County, has a long heritage. The Phoenixville Iron Works dates back to the late 18th century, its forges producing hundreds of cannons for the U.S. war effort, some of which fired the first volleys for Union troops at the Battle of Gettysburg. The forge also produced columns used in thousands of structures, including bridges and buildings around the nation, even forming part of the superstructure for the Washington Monument. Movie buffs may recall a film from 1958 titled The Blob, about an amorphous creature taking over small towns, which was partially filmed at the Colonial Theater in Phoenixville and was one of Steve McQueen's first films. The Historical Society of Phoenixville showcases much of this heritage with superb displays about the Civil War, local industry, the beautiful locally produced Majolica pottery from the late 1800s, and much more. Today we're speaking with Ryan Conroy, the president of the Phoenixville Historical Society, who's here to tell us about the long heritage of this town and the many displays, exhibits, and events they present to the public. Ryan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Gene. Thanks for having me this afternoon.
Thank you. First question, when was the Historical Society of Phoenixville actually founded?
It was actually founded in 1977. And then it was actually formed off of the Bicentennial Committee from the year prior. Mm-hmm. So it was, we had the society existing in 1977, and we acquired our first building in 1980, which is where we still are.
Okay, and when did you become president?
I became president in 2013.
Okay, so fairly recently.
Yep.
Yeah. Now, the building you're in, that's an older building in Phoenixville. Tell us a little bit about the building, if you know much about that.
Sure. We're actually located in a church building, which is on the corner of Church and Main Street. It was actually a centennial evangelical Lutheran church, which was built in the 1870s.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful old stone building. I've walked by it several times. In fact, visiting the Historical Society, that's part of the interesting thing being there. It's a beautiful structure. I know you mentioned when we were speaking personally that your background in history is a long-time history buff. Just tell us about your own personal experiences in delving into American history.
Well, like you said, I started really getting interested in history, and mostly local history, around the age of about 8 or 10 years old. And my first interest was Native American artifacts from our area, and that was because of my my dad's interest and got me interested, and my knowledge expanded, and I got really more interested in local history and industry and military history, and so I've been reading a lot of books and doing a lot of research for a long time now.
Have you collected any arrowheads?
I have.
You know, I'm on the board of the Sanderson Museum down in Chads Ford, and Chris Sanderson was the unofficial village historian of Chads Ford for many years. He died in 1966, but he was a big collector of arrowheads. They have probably several dozen arrowheads down there in that museum. Does the Historical Society have any arrowheads?
We do. We actually have a really nice collection of arrowheads, pottery, hand tools, and some of them dating to, you know, a lot of early archaic stuff, but all locally found and mostly in Chester County.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned when we were speaking that you have a particular interest in local Indians and Indian tribes and things, groups like that. Tell us a little bit about your research into the Indians.
A lot of my research is based around the Lenni Lenape tribe that was existed right in the borough of Phoenixville. A lot of them residing in their settlements above the hills of the Schuylkill River. And a lot of those fields are, some of them are still open, some of them are not, but that's a lot of the areas where I would look for the artifacts. Mm-hmm. And through that research for the tribes and trying to figure out where their camps were, and so it's there's a lot of it, especially around our area, and a lot of it along, of course, the French Creek, both of them natural tributaries.
Mm-hmm. Some people who have heard of the Lenape Indians may have heard of a woman named Indian Hannah. Indian Hannah was purported to be one of the last of the Lenape tribe. I think she died in the early 1800s. Do you know much about Indian Hannah?
I have not heard too much about her, but I do know about another one. There was a man by the name of Starr. And he actually lived on the north side of Phoenixville and was one of the last Native Americans to live amongst the white settlers way into past American Revolution, and was supposedly buried up there somewhere, but in an unmarked grave.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, what is your specific role there as society? Obviously, you're president, but what are the tasks that you typically perform on a regular basis?
Most of the things I do is always looking after the upkeep of the building, and but a lot of communication with people. We get so many inquiries on research, being involved in events, preserving artifacts and donations and stuff like that. So I get a lot of that, and then also my involvement in going out and doing things like this. Mm-hmm. I'm really big on community outreach, mm-hmm. being involved in the community, getting a lot of younger people, and with Phoenixville's growth, we get a lot of new young families coming into town, and so we really try and get them involved and show them, hey, this is the house you lived in. Mm. This is the history behind it. So mm-hmm. we get a lot of stuff like that.
By the way, for our listeners, if you haven't been to Phoenixville, it is a neat little town up in northeastern Chester County. It is a place where you can dine at several excellent restaurants. You probably have heard of the Iron Hill Brewery. They have one there. They have one named Majolica. They have an Irish pub and bar there. Several great restaurants to visit, and they also have a wonderful downtown mural, which kind of highlights the local history, a bit of the iron making facility, etc. So it's really a cute little town. It's lovely to explore on a Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and you get to even enjoy some good food. I know the society has an excellent collection of what is called Majolica pottery. Now, for our listeners who don't know what Majolica is, it was produced in the late 1800s, but I'm sure, Ryan, you can tell us a lot more about the collection there.
Yes, we actually have reportedly the largest collection of Etruscan Majolica made by the Griffin Smith and Hill Company in the world. Mm. We have easily over 300 pieces, mm-hmm. and some of the pieces that we have in our collection are extremely rare, mm-hmm. Including one-of-a-kind pieces that were made for the exposition in New Orleans in 1894, and these beautiful pieces, which we have out on display at all times, anybody come to see them, they are one-of-a-kind pieces, and we had them appraised years ago, and they were like we have nothing to compare them to.
Yeah.
So we have some great pieces like that, and luckily we've inherited some large collections in the area.
Mm-hmm. I've seen the Majolica display there at the Society. It's absolutely superb. They have really some beautiful handcrafted pieces of pottery. I think many of them are hand-painted, just lovely, hand-glazed, and just absolutely lovely. I'm not even a big fan of pottery, and I like that collection. It's just superb. So that is the largest collection in the U.S.
Yes.
That's interesting. I know you also have had a superb Civil War display there over the years. I think you change it from time to time. Tell us a little bit about the Civil War display, the exhibit that you have there at the Historical Society.
Yes, we usually like to have something about the Civil War on display all the time. And we're currently working on putting together a nice new exhibit. One of our members is working on that, and I'm helping out with that a little bit. And we're going to have a lot of original photography out on exhibit of identified Phoenixville soldiers, some equipment, and letters and stuff like that. So, yeah, Phoenixville's involvement in the Civil War was pretty large, so we always try to show it off.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mentioned earlier that the Phoenixville Ironworks made the Griffin guns that fired the first cannonade for the Union at the Battle of Gettysburg. You mentioned there were a couple of different types of Griffin guns. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, the first pattern, which was known as the Griffin gun, was developed and patented by John Griffin, which we actually have the original patent papers at the Society. But off of that original patent, they made a couple different, another version of it, which was more known as the 3-inch ordnance rifle,
mm-hmm.
which is the one that was purchased by the government in 1861.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, like you said, the first shot fired at Gettysburg was a Phoenix Iron Company gun.
Mm, interesting. Now, there were hundreds of them made, right? Or maybe thousands?
Correct. The numbers kind of are here and there, but it's usually somewhere between 1,000 and 1,300 cannon barrels.
Quite a few. Do you cover people and events related to the Civil War? I mean, you have records of the soldiers and diaries and things like that at the Society?
Yes, we do. We actually have all the original rosters and of every soldier that fought for the Union Army from Phoenixville. We also have letters, photographs, some diaries, and things like that. So we have a nice little file on Civil War, and we have a lot of people who come in and look for those things.
Mm-hmm. I know being on the board of the Sanderson Museum, which has a collection of letters from Civil War soldiers, I've always just enjoyed looking at some of these letters and talking about the different battles, many of them for people who fought at Gettysburg or the other major battles, Shiloh, Antietam, etc. So that's interesting that you actually have the actual records from the soldiers. Those are precious artifacts to keep, and a lot of people who want to delve into the kind of the social or personal side of the Civil War want to read those letters. We are about to take a short break for a commercial, but please stay with us, and we'll soon be back with Ryan Conroy, president of the Historical Society of Phoenixville.
Radio PA's Ask the Governor program brings you access to Pennsylvania's governor like you've never had before. You can send your questions and comments to Governor Tom Wolf now by going to PAMatters.com and clicking the Ask the Governor link at the top of the page. You could be part of our next edition of Ask the Governor.
School funding, investment in schools is really important to me. My goal is to try to provide for a fair tax system for everybody. I said, send me a full year budget, a real budget, and I'll let it pass. We need to get to work to get this budget done.
You can also listen to Ask the Governor and watch exclusive video clips from the show on PAMatters.com.
This is Governor Tom Wolf. We'll talk about the issues that affect you on Ask the Governor. You can submit your question or comment today by visiting PAMatters.com.
Ask the Governor is a production of Radio PA and PAMatters.com in association with TFM Advertising.
Are you tired of looking up at that old, streaky, stained, tired, ugly roof? Tired of that ugly roof taking away from your home's curb appeal? G.P. Martini Roofing wants to solve your curb appeal woes with a new roof built with Atlas Pristine Shingles featuring Scotchgard Protector from 3M, the only shingle with a lifetime limited warranty against algae streaks and stains. G.P. Martini's crews are highly trained professional installers of asphalt shingle roofs, and now with the power of Atlas Shingles and Scotchgard Protector from 3M, GP Martini will install a roof that will provide the lasting color you choose for as long as you're in your home. Let GP Martini Roofing have a look at that nagging leak, or just call to consult about upgrading the look for your prized investment. Call them today, 610-873-1696. Whether your need is residential or commercial, GP Martini Roofing has the expertise in-house to solve your problem, or to simply make your home or office look its best. 610-873-1696. That's the number to call. 610-873-1696. And one of those GP Martini trucks will be on its way to you.
If it's happening in Chester County, you'll hear about it here. WCAG 1520 AM, the talk of Chester County.
I'm Gene Pasali, and this is Living History. Today we're talking with Ryan Conroy, the president of the Phoenixville Historical Society. Ryan, you've talked about a couple of the different exhibits you have there, the Civil War exhibit. You have a wonderful display of Majolica pottery. What are some of the other exhibits you have there at the Historical Society?
Right now, we actually have our current rotating exhibit that we have up. It's still up for a little bit longer, and it's actually about the medical history in Phoenixville, which is pretty extensive, you know, of course, covering Phoenixville Hospital, but also the Valley Forge Army Hospital and different aspects of that.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have a new exhibit opening up on the first Friday, April 1st, which is called Writing Our Lives, Diaries, Memoirs, and Letters of Phoenixville Residents. Pretty excited about this exhibit. It's going to show a lot of those things that we're talking about, letters and personal stories. And a lot of it's going to focus on a woman by the name of Esther Leggett, who was a traveler in the late 1800s, who kept diaries. I'm talking like dozens of diaries. And we had one of our volunteers transcribe them all, so we're going to be able to show them off.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah.
I know you've got a variety of different things there. You did mention you have many historic photographs. How large a collection of historic photographs do you have there?
We actually have a large collection of photographs. So that's one of our big points that we have at the Society is our photography collection. So we're probably talking, you know, thousands of images. Most of our photography is organized, and we have photography cabinets where you can go in and look by subject matter or by name. And so we have a lot of people who usually come in for our photographs.
Now, I know the Society has a variety of different displays and exhibits and different events. Do you ever interact with any organizations or any history that's kind of outside of Phoenixville? Do you ever have any interplay between different societies or museums?
We do. We have a really good relationship with the Chester County Historical Society, of course, and we also interact a lot with township historic commissions like Schuylkill, East Pikeland, and so, you know, our society kind of encompasses, you know, Phoenixville, Charlestown, Schuylkill Township, East Pikeland, and but what's really cool is sometimes we get to interact with historical societies or museums in Europe and in Canada, and a lot, of course, of those inquiries are coming about the Phoenix Bridges.
Oh, right.
So
yeah, they had them all over the country, even around the world, I think.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. What are some of your favorite artifacts in the collection? I mean, you've got thousands of them. What do you find most interesting?
So, it's actually, I want to point out a couple of things. It's one of the hardest questions I think you can ask me because I love so many things that we have. But one of my favorite things is we have a store ledger from the 1700s, which is pre-Revolutionary War, of a man by the name of Longstreth who had a dry goods store on the corner of 23 and Whitehorse Road. He ran this dry goods store during the Valley Forge encampment.
Oh, my Lord.
And so when you read through these, what he's writing about, what he's ordering, and the things that are coming in, you can see that the relation to what was going on. One of my favorite things, and then the other one I wanted to point out, was a scrapbook that was actually kept by Samuel Pennypacker. Of course, he became governor of Pennsylvania and Phoenixville native. He kept a scrapbook of anything in relation to the incorporation of the borough in 1849. And we have actually had that archivally restored and preserved, and that's one of my favorite pieces.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned the dry goods store. Did he have any interaction with Washington and his army?
Well, I've actually been trying to research that, and I believe that he did, because he's literally maybe a couple, about a mile or two down the road. It was Moore Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Nathaniel Green had his headquarters for the quartermaster.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I believe that he did supply maybe some sort of items to them, and I've seen some things about, like, whale oil and you know, stuff like that was being ordered.
Mm-hmm. I know you have various events there at the Historical Society throughout the year. Tell us a little bit about the different types of events you have.
Yes, we like to interact with the community quite a bit, and one of my favorite things that we do is these events for our members. We do these member-only events. Usually they are walking tours, hikes,
mm-hmm.
And then sometimes we even show movies like The Blob,
or
Bright Victory, or you know, something like that. But we do our annual events that we've been doing for 20-plus years, like our Strawberry Festival, our flea markets.
Mm-hmm.
But in May, we're going to be doing another members-only walking tour of Black Rock Cemetery and the Black Rock Reservoir area.
Yeah. Okay.
And we'll be talking about the Native Americans.
Oh, excellent. So, now, do you have a lecture series?
We do not. We don't have a consistent lecture series, but we have a lot of speakers that come in.
Mm-hmm.
Our quarterly meetings, we have a different speaker that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently we had a friend of mine who is the assistant curator of the American Revolution Museum that's going to be opening up. So,
oh, yes. You
we had a large attendance for that about the history of Washington's tents.
Mm-hmm, which should be fascinating. Now, for our guests around the region, the Museum of the American Revolution will be opening up in downtown Philadelphia right near Independence Hall sometime next year in 2017. So if you're a fan of the American Revolution, you want to get into downtown Philadelphia sometime by, let's say, March or April of 2017, it should be a fantastic museum. And Ryan mentioned he's friends with the assistant curator there. With the generally tepid economy over the last few years, many historical societies and nonprofit organizations are kind of struggling a little bit. Does the Phoenixville Society reach out for support from the community?
We do. We are always looking for grants to help the society. Everything from, you know, grants to preserve artifacts or grants to just have our daily operations. You know,
mm-hmm.
just like anything, we're a nonprofit organization who has to pay a heating bill,
mm-hmm.
just like, you know, someone's paying a heating bill for a house. So, you know, our organization is completely reliable on donations. So mm-hmm. we try and work with the community and, you know, of course, the borough of Phoenixville, the county, and different historical organizations and the state. So, you know, as you said, you know, of course, with that kind of stuff going on, it can be difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So we're always looking for help.
Yeah, it's always a challenge.
Absolutely.
You mentioned historic preservation. Some societies focus on actual individual artifacts. Others actually try to maintain and preserve historic structures, which are generally quite a bit more expensive. You have a personal interest in historic preservation, you mentioned to me personally. Can you tell us a little bit about what's involved with historic preservation?
Yes. You know, when it comes to historic preservation of artifacts, there's a lot that goes involved on training and how they're preserved and where they're stored. And that's a big thing that we're doing right now at the Historical Society. We have climate-controlled rooms,
mm-hmm.
Things that need, you know, photography, of course, a prime mm-hmm. example of something that can be easily ruined.
Mm-hmm.
We go down and take classes down in Philadelphia on different things on how to handle these items.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, with you know, land preservation and things like that, that's when you really have to call in the big guns, and because there's a lot of that's a lot of work and a lot of fight for that kind of stuff. And
yeah, well, I know that preservation of historic structures can be very challenging because one, it's generally very expensive, and two, to maintain its historic status, especially if it's on the National Register, generally they need to hire workmen or consultants who are actually trained specifically to work with historic structures, sometimes specifically of that period. For example, here near where I live, near Chad's Ford, John Milner and Architects, they've done a lot of historic preservation. That's all they do, is focus on 18th century historic structures. And the Chad's Ford Historical Society is one that's near me. They maintain a couple of local historic structures. I know the Chester County Historical Society used to have historic structures that they had for many years, but decided to move towards individual artifacts rather than have the buildings to maintain, which, as you mentioned, is quite expensive.
It is.
It takes quite an operating budget to do that. And, you know, I welcome any efforts by local historic societies and individual citizens around the area to help these groups to maintain part of our heritage. Any plans for expansion or any new projects coming up at the Phoenixville Historical Society that you could talk about?
Sure. Of course, like I mentioned earlier, we have our new exhibit. It opened up on April 1st. Mm-hmm. And then something that I'm personally looking forward to is our exhibit that we're going to have in 2017, which will be in correlation with the 100th anniversary of World War I.
Mm.
So we're going to do a large exhibit and hopefully maybe some living history events and stuff like that. So it's something that I'm personally interested in. So at the Phoenixville had another, just like the Civil War, had a large involvement in World War I. So mm-hmm. We have a lot of things from that to show off and put out. And
now, will there be many artifacts from World War I that you'll have in the exhibit?
Yes. Yes, we actually have a lot of some uniforms, photos, mm-hmm. documentation, and some really great artifacts that we have that, just like any museum, it takes an exhibit to get them out, to show them to people.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a pretty decent collection of things, it takes some time, and this is a prime example where we will be able to put most of what we have out. Mm-hmm. For the public to see.
Now, I have a personal interest in World War I. It was called the Great War at the time, until World War II came around. That was the big war. But many people are really not very familiar with World War I. I mean, obviously, it was a major event. We got in, America got in a little bit late. So do you have any idea what kinds of things you'll be focusing on in the upcoming exhibit next year related to the war?
Yes, we'll focus a lot on the local companies that were in the war. Phoenixville actually had two National Guard companies that wound up going into the National Army in 1917, and they were already in existing National Guard units. Both of them fought in France, earned a lot of Battle of Honors, and so we'll be focusing on some of those guys,
mm-hmm.
and then also some of the production that came from Phoenix Steel mm-hmm. at the time for the war effort.
Now, were they still making any cannons or artillery at that time?
Not really artillery, but they were contracted with all kinds of different things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could have been pieces of armament,
mm-hmm.
But a lot of the, you know, actual artillery pieces,
mm-hmm.
Was most of that was just mainly just Civil War.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the ironworks, they are now closed, but there is a Schuylkill River Heritage Museum and Canal Museum there on the site, which is really interesting. So for anyone who wants to visit Phoenixville, you can actually get a taste of what the ironworks were like, and you can tour that museum as well, which is right down the street. Ryan has a lot of interest in local history and has shared with me the fact that there are two, actually maybe three or four, of the Griffin guns in a downtown park here in Phoenix, the actual cannons that were used in the Civil War. So that's kind of interesting. So, if you get to Phoenixville, you should try to wander around the area and see the local park, which has the Griffin guns. We are almost through for the show, but I just wanted to thank you, Ryan, for sharing your insights and comments, and thanks for being with us today. Be sure to join us next week, Wednesday, March 9th, at 1 p.m. Eastern, when Bruce Mowdy will be our guest host, speaking with Charlene Briggs about World War II bomber pilots. Thank you all for joining us and tuning in to Living History.